You're listening to the Moms Working Overtime podcast, the community of women you've been searching to find for so long. We bring together our mamas in waiting, brand new moms, stay-at-home moms, working moms, and the moms who maybe just have a little bit more experience than the rest of us. We're all here for community, support, and finding ways to show up better for our families each and every day. I'm so grateful that you're here, and I hope you love what you find on today's episode. Welcome back to the Moms Working Overtime podcast for our Thursday interview series. And y'all, this one is really special to my heart because if you are in the Moms Working Overtime Facebook community, first of all, if you aren't, the link is in every podcast description and you should join. We've got about 1,000 mamas in there that are truly just there to support each other. I hear all the time that one of the best parts of the Moms Working Overtime Facebook community is it seems to be judgment-free. There's no guilt. There's no shame. It's just, hey, I'm showing up. I'm doing the best I can, and moms helping moms. And so if you're not in that community, join that community. That's my little plug before we start the episode today. But the reason that this episode is so dang special to my heart, and so many of you are going to love it as well, is because we're doing a book club in the MWO Facebook group right now. And the book club is called In the Trenches. And I say that all the time, that we are in the trenches together. So this is very on brand. And I have our author here with us today. I have Kelsey Gillespie here. I just said I wasn't going to pronounce it wrong and I'm stumbling over my words. Kelsey Gillespie is here with me on the MWO podcast. She's also going to be live in the Facebook group on May 31st. But Kelsey, welcome to the MWO podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's such a joy.
We're going to have fun with this one today. Kelsey is so dang sweet. Y'all are going to love her. And we're going to get a little bit of behind the scenes when it comes to the book. But before we get started, Kelsey, I just want you to share mom to mom a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your family.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I am a homeschooling mom of 5, soon to be 6. We're actually expecting baby number 6 in November.
So yay!
Fortunately, my oldest are now old enough to help, which is truly a game changer. It's changing the landscape of motherhood, and that's awesome. I write books on the side and any spare pocket of time that I can find when I'm not around the kids, which seems like always. So we're just living the dream, you know?
Kelsey, my audience knows our kids' daycare closed in the end of April, beginning of March. So I went to unexpected full-time stay-at-home mom with full-time, you know, entrepreneur. And what I know is that if you write in your spare time, then you probably write books like 42 seconds a day and that's it. And you're choosing that over eating, maybe?
Usually. Well, fortunately, I also have a really good community. And so I have like 2 mornings a week where they are like the shield that protects me, you know?
Amazing.
And then I just go and I just speed write. There's like smoke coming out of the keyboard. I just go as fast as I possibly can.
I love it. Well, because you're so engrossed in everything, I am sure that's what made In the Trenches a very relatable book to write, because you could step away from that and write about your experiences and jump right back in the trenches.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, like while I was in the trenches, I've been writing these stories since my oldest, she's about to be 11 in June, and I've been writing these stories since she was 2, and just compiling these over the years. And it's actually kind of what kept me sane, I think, most of the time, you know, like it's kind of cool now to like look back at this book and it's almost like a scrapbook of sorts, mm-hmm. unintentionally. Like I just see all these stories that my kids did when they were little. Like I didn't keep a baby book for any of them, but I have In the Trenches, so it counts, right? And that's something my kids have actually really loved reading this book, because I never mention any of them by name. So they'll like read through the chapters being like, who was this? Which one was this? And it's been fun for them to try to figure out which kid was doing which things in the stories.
Oh, I love that. Kelsey, you know what that makes me think of is there's a like theme on social media that's going around that says, I hope my kids look back and remember that mom really enjoyed us. I have chills right now. But your kids are going to be able to go back and read this book. And anyone who's listening, get the book. Like, I'm not kidding you. I've read it myself. I'm reading it again with the book club and doing the daily discussions. And I was just telling Kelsey, I'm not just hyping her up. I've read a lot of motherhood books. I work in the motherhood space with moms every single day. This is a really good book. And what I love about what you just said is that your kids are going to be able to go back and read that story. But what it made me think of is they're going to go back and read how much mom found faith and enjoyment and love in everything that you did with them, and how you can talk about the fact that it is hard. We say that all the time on the podcast. This is probably the hardest job in the world.
For sure.
But they can go back and literally read what you wrote about how you enjoyed them and how you just found ministry in this. I'm wearing my Motherhood is a Ministry shirt for the podcast for everyone doing the video version.
Very
But
appropriate.
that's really special, super special.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool. Even just the other day, oh man, I can't. One of my older kids was like pridefully telling the younger ones, like, you can't teach me anything because I'm older than you and I know more than you. And I was like, well, that's not true. Like, I'm the adult, and you guys have taught me so much that I was able to write an entire book about it. So, like, if we humble ourselves, we can learn from anybody at any time.
Yep, exactly. That is the theme of everything, and especially in motherhood, because just when you think you got it figured out, they go to the next stage, the
Oh my
next
gosh.
age, the next reason for tantrums and all the things.
That's
But
so
okay,
true.
let's back it up, because I have a question that the audience loves, that I love to hear, that I ask every single mom that I interview. And for you, I need you to go back like 12 years then and
Oh gosh,
think
let's hope my brain can remember that far back.
who were you before motherhood, though? And when you think back to that person, all the growth and experiences, the things that she had been through that led you to that point, are you the kind of mom that you expected yourself to be?
Oh, that's a good question. So before motherhood, like my entire life, I've been a very type A perfectionistic kind of person, and I wanted to be the best at everything. Like, didn't matter what it was. It could be something as trivial, like my brother and I would be like, oh, let's see who can throw their shoe closest to the door or something. And I'd be like, well, I'm gonna win. I'm just very competitive. I was very competitive, very, like I said, perfectionistic. And I was always just very focused on my tasks, right? Like, whatever it is, focus on it, get really good at it, and be the best at it. And I did. I kind of went through my whole life that way in school, in sports. I played basketball all the way through college. Then after college, I graduated and got my master's in sports psychology, and coached high school basketball. Again, just really focused on accomplishments, really focused on achieving things. And then when I started having babies, it was like a culture shock. You know, it's like, wait, I can't focus on myself at all anymore. I have to focus every moment on taking care of somebody else, which was definitely, like I said, just world changing. And also, especially, I started to kind of figure out more about this Jesus guy in college, and I was kind of starting to get my footing in my faith, I guess, just a little bit here and there. And then I met this really cute boy my senior year in college, and he was Catholic and I was not. But the way he lived out his faith was like so beautifully magnetic that I was like, that's what I've been looking for. Like, that's what I want to do for myself. Like, this is how I want to live it out. Anyways, to make a long story short, I ended up marrying that boy, and I got confirmed in the Catholic Church like 1 month before we got married. And then we found out we were pregnant a few months after that. And so it was just like bam, 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 like everything all at one time, you know? And so there was just a lot of learning that had to take place. And like I mentioned, it was kind of an appropriate, I guess, turn of events. Like, here I'd finally kind of discovered who Jesus was, and now I was being called to serve others and to think of others and to sacrifice myself for other people. And it was really hard, but also ended up being so worthwhile. And motherhood, at the beginning, it was kind of like, I call it the dark night of the soul. Like, the first year of my daughter's life, it was like so hard. And I felt like, man, I was just starting to get my footing with my faith, and now I have this baby and I can't like ever have prayer time and all these things. And so I felt like motherhood was this wedge that's like separating me from God. And then once I started to kind of encounter him in motherhood, I realized, oh my gosh, like this isn't a wedge that's keeping me apart. This is like an avenue that's uniting me to him in a totally unique and powerful and deep way. So motherhood, actually parenthood, right? Like taught me so much about God in ways that I would have never otherwise learned. So.
And for anyone listening too, who maybe doesn't have a strong connection to their faith or any faith at all, here's the thing. And I've shared this, it's been a while though, so this is a great topic of conversation. In motherhood, I think it's so important that you have something bigger than you, because just like Kelsey talked about, it gets dark, it gets lonely, it gets scary. You live in this space of doubt and being so self-critical of yourself, and you need something to believe in that's bigger than you, something to lean on that's stronger than you. Because another thing I've shared, I actually shared this as part of the book club, is we aren't enough as ourselves. We aren't enough. You will never be enough. And that's okay. That's another motherhood book, actually. It's not a motherhood book as much as it is just a like women's empowerment book. But you're not enough. You were never meant to be enough. And I think when you allow that to sink in and you get okay with that, then you can lean on something bigger than you, something stronger than you, something that has a greater purpose. And that's where I connect so deeply with my faith. I know Kelsey connects with her faith. And the moms that are doing the book club with us are even saying, like, it's helping alleviate the stress and the pressure of motherhood when I can realize that I'm not doing this alone. And I think it just changes so much about your perspective, and what suddenly felt so dark and all that pressure you felt, it just alleviates.
So true. Absolutely. And I feel like, I mean, we're made to be in community, right? But also that first year of motherhood, it was such a culture shock, and it was so hard and so constant and so all consuming. And we were living at the time, like, we didn't have any family nearby. We were living in a college town. So like, even our friends, they weren't married, they didn't have kids. And so there was like nobody to really connect with, sort of. And so it was very isolating. It was very confusing. You know, perfectionistic me, I was like, I want to know exactly what to do. And I want to know, like, I want to do it well, right?
And someone give me a checklist. Like, can I get a checklist over here?
Exactly. Wouldn't that be great? I love a checklist. But motherhood is like all bets out the window, right? There's like no.
It's good for us, Kelsey. Yeah. This is good for people like us.
Are you with me on this?
I am so with you.
Oh, good.
I'm a perfectionist.
Okay, good. I consider myself now a recovering perfectionist. It's a process. But it was like, I didn't have the people around me, and my poor daughter also didn't have like the people around her. Like even babies, even toddlers need community. And so that poor thing, we would go to like the grocery store, you know, every week to pick up whatever we needed. And she would point down like the baby aisle so that she could go and wave to the babies on the boxes. Right. Like, I'm like, this is so sad. But we would just stand there in the aisle and she'd be like, baby, hi. I'm like, oh, this is so sad. And then like for her first birthday, our landlords, sweet people that they were, they gave her like a little birthday party. They like made her a cake, just, like us and them, you know. And by the time we were, by the time she turned two, we had moved closer to family. And it was just such a wild dichotomy, because like on our second birthday, we actually threw the birthday party, you know, and we had like just family and friends and like all these people just surrounding her. And it was beautiful. So it's definitely life-changing to surround yourself with people who love you and who get it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because you weren't meant to do it alone. And for any mama listening, even if you don't have I don't love the saying it takes a village, because I think so many moms sit in that and they're like, I don't have a village. How am I ever going to do this? Make a village, find people at church, find people in mom groups.
So ahead, true. Kelsey. But here's the thing, at least for me, and maybe this is just, maybe I shouldn't even like admit this because I'm going to sound like a crazy person and I'm really sorry. But like I mentioned, for like the first couple years, I didn't have community at church. Didn't have family around or whatever. And so just being able to like unite with Jesus, you know, like he's here, right? Like he's not just off in some quiet room waiting for us to get there, right? He walks into the tomb and he does all the things. He's not afraid of the mess, and he wants to encounter us in the mess. But also, like for me, I just like found faithful people like from the past, like even like saints or something, and I would like get insight from them, right? Like Mother Teresa once said, like, don't wash a plate just because it's dirty, or even because somebody told you to wash the plate because you love the person who's going to use it next. And so it like radically changed the way I like did dishes. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I love my daughter or whatever, and so I'm going to make sure this is really clean for her, or I love my husband. And so, and as opposed to being like, oh, there's just so many dishes all the time. You know?
But y'all, her book is full of little messages like that that just make you think like, huh, maybe I don't hate that so much.
Yeah,
And
right?
so there you go.
Maybe
There's your little
that's good.
sampler of why you need to read Kelsey's book, because even just hearing that, I'm like, oh, I literally was staring at dishes this morning on the counter from breakfast, and I'm like, oh, I want to do those later. I don't want to worry about those right now. But now I will think about it differently because of you. And Mother Teresa. We'll give credit to Mother Teresa there.
Okay,
But
good. Yeah.
well,
Give credit
Kelsey,
where it's
okay,
due.
you shared that you have a degree in sports psychology, right? That's what you had said.
Yeah.
But you're a writer and
Yeah.
homeschooling mom of five, one on the way.
Yeah.
How do
All
you
over the
go
place.
from that to this?
Well, I feel like I've always had two great loves, right? Like I've always really loved sports. That's kind of how my family always bonded with each other. Like my brother and I, we were always very competitive, and we always whatever we could find to do together, we would make up sporty games so that we could play or whatever. And my parents are also incredibly athletic, and so like that's what we would do in our spare time, is we would go shoot hoops or go to the tennis courts or throw a football or whatever. And so that's just kind of how, that's like one of my love languages, is just playing sports with people. And so, like I said, I kind of did that my whole life. But also, I've also had this deep love of story my whole life, in any medium, right? Whether it's movies or books or anything. And I naturally gravitate most towards writing them, like telling them through writing. And even when I was a kid and in high school, I mean, I've always been an introvert. So in high school, I would like not go out. I would just stay inside and like chow down on mini Oreos and write stories and all the things. And so I've always just really enjoyed writing stories. I think there's something, I don't know, like compelling and transformative about them. And I would always be like the kid who would go to like the slumber party or whatever, and everybody would be watching a movie and everybody would fall asleep. And even if I had seen the movie a gazillion times, I'd be like, no, I have to stay awake and like watch every last line until credits
See
roll.
everything that and how it ends.
See everything. Yeah, exactly. Because I'm just like addicted to story. There's something about it just creeps inside of me and gives me life. And I think that Jesus actually probably really felt the same way, because as you see through scriptures, like if somebody has a question, he doesn't usually just give them the answer. Like, what does he do? He tells them the story and then he asks questions. And that's kind of the whole setup of my book, is I tell these stories and then at the end I give people some questions to think about. Because I think that helps people like really internalize and think for themselves and come up with their own ideas and solution, and it just makes them think. And I think that's where the transformation comes from.
Before we dive deeper into the book, because that already sparked another question, but I've got another question in my mind I want to hit
Okay.
before we get into book stuff. Kelsey, have you always envisioned yourself as a mom that would have a larger family?
Not at all. No, I, like I mentioned, I'm one of two, and my mom is actually an only child, and my dad is actually one of six. So he comes from a bigger family, but my mom comes from a small family, and we've always been really, really close with my mom's side of the family. And if I'm gonna be honest, I never really envisioned myself as a mom at all. And then when it happened, I was like, okay, like, you know, I guess like a couple kids would be good, or My husband's one of six, and I was one of two, so we thought maybe four would be like a happy medium if we were to get there. And it's just been so, it's been funny. Like when we make a plan, God laughs. So,
Yes. Oh my gosh. Kelsey, did you watch the reflection in the Facebook group for the book club this morning? Because that is literally what I said. But I, first of all, I messed it up like 10 hundred times because I'm a mom and I don't sleep. Okay. But I
Oh,
told them, I was
you
like, you guys know what I mean.
Absolutely, we do. We
But
speak
hey, we
mommy.
make our plans and he laughs because ultimately he
Oh,
knows how it ends. But
that's 100%
know I
true.
heard you say you had a brother and I was like, oh
Yeah.
my gosh. Because usually I feel like moms want the number of children that they grew up with siblings wise, which it makes sense that your husband came from a larger family, but it just is so funny to me. I am team have all the babies. I have two siblings and my husband has one sibling, so he thinks I'm crazy. But I'm like, I'm just loving this and I feel called to this. And I think how beautiful would it be to be surrounded by these kids and their kids someday and just everything that comes with it.
You know, I am slowly and I suppose quickly being converted to that train of thought. You know,
I would
it's like
say you're in it.
I am. I think I am in it, you know? But it was funny because like this was kind of a different idea for my family. And so when we kept having the babies, they were like, what? You're pregnant again? How is that even possible, right? Like
You ever get the question, don't you know how this happens?
oh, all the time. It's such a weird question, isn't it?
It's a weird
It's like, I
question.
don't even know how to respond to you, stranger.
It's such a weird question, but I think it's great. I have always said, you know, we'll never regret having more children. We'll never regret having a full house and all of this love that we get to give. And the biggest thing I think that we get pushed back on when we say that we want more kids is how can you afford that? And this is a faith thing too, because actually, and Kelsey, we haven't even gotten to talk about this, but I left my corporate job last year to start Moms Working Overtime, and I left a really good salary to get where I'm at now. And it seemed insane to most people. And then the fact that we want all these kids. And I always say, hey, I will follow what I feel is my purpose and what God's will is for our family, and He will provide. And you know what has happened time and time again? First of all, moms working overtime has become something way more than I ever imagined it would be. I was like, I'm just going to be a mom, spend more time with my kids, and I'll have this hobby, right? And
Yeah.
God laughed because now it's more than a full-time thing. And I have two people on my team that are incredible. But I really think that if you just follow what's on your heart, God will provide. And that's what He's done for us financially. And so when I hear those comments, I'm always like, you got to have bigger faith because you don't want to look back on your life and think, oh, I made that decision because I was afraid of financial obligations.
Man, it's so crazy. Like, this is a Holy Spirit thing. My husband and I were literally talking about this last night. And we were
Yes.
talking, I know we were talking about how faith is built in the rearview mirror. And so, like, just now that we're old, we're like, we can see all of the times that God has really like provided for us in unbelievable ways. Like, it shouldn't have worked, you know? And yet it did, right? Like, and my husband was mentioning like the finances, because he's like the one that we depend on for that. And so he was just saying, like, yeah, if when we first had our first kid and somebody told me we were going to have six, I would have just been like, well, I'm done. Right? Like,
There's no way.
there's no possible way that we could ever afford that financially. But over time, like, God has just made it happen over and over and over and over again, and just to like replenish our faith and like little, I don't know, Hansel and Gretel breadcrumbs to just trust him, you know? And so now when we found out we had baby number six, we're like, well, God's gonna do his thing, you know, like it's fine.
Seriously, it really does happen. I mean, we've had the same conversations where we're just like, man, we were so scared. And then that happened. And that was totally unexpected. And then that happened where we felt more comfortable and that we were going to be okay providing for our family. And then that happened. And it's just like mind
Yeah,
blowing. But
right.
that it really is this belief that God will provide.
Right. And it's
We
not like
could.
you can look back at your past and be like, oh yeah, like God took care of all that stuff, but now it's on me. You know, it's like, no, God's gonna keep being God. You know, he's
Yes,
good.
yes.
He cares
Okay,
about
well,
us.
let's talk about the book because that's why you're here. And I feel like we could talk for like an hour and not even
I
get to the
know.
book
I guess
yet,
we
but
become best friends. I feel like we're
we
best
just become best friends.
friends.
I knew when I read your book that this is going to be a great interview. Okay, so your book, we've talked about this too, Kelsey. Vulnerability in motherhood is what is lacking in our society these days. Like, mama, if you are listening right now, we will open up. We'll tell you our weaknesses, our struggles. If you read Kelsey's book, she's going to get super vulnerable with you in there. But what inspired you to not only acknowledge these stories, these struggles, but then how did you make these connections to faith? Because y'all, once you read the book, you are going to see that each chapter, these connections to faith are just like, oh my gosh, I never thought about it that way. Kelsey, how did you connect the dots there?
I'm going to be honest. I can't take credit for any of that. That was like all Holy Spirit every time. Like, as I mentioned earlier, when I first became a mom, it was like, I went about it kind of how I went about everything in my life. Like just putting my head down, grinding through it, trying to do everything on my own strength, wanting to make sure I took care of all the what's, you know, like just do it as best as I can, but failing miserably, right? Like I had no idea what I was doing. And so I was constantly like, God, like you gave me this baby, like teach me what to do. Tell me what to do. Just give me the answers and I'll do whatever it is that you say, mm-hmm. you know? And being the good teacher, right? The Rabboni that he is, he gave me absolutely zero answers, you know? because he likes us to kind of work with him and think through it and figure it out with him. And one day when my daughter was having this meltdown, she's maybe like two or something. And I was just like, I have no idea what to do, right? Like, I don't know what a good mom would do, right, in this situation. And so instead of like, yeah, good mom.
What is a
right?
good mom?
What is a good mom? But I didn't, that was what I would always like, you know, compare myself mm-hmm. to. It's like who this imaginary good mom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, what a good mom do in this situation? And usually I would ask like, okay, like, tell me the answer, God, like, what am I supposed to do? What would a good mom do in this situation? But for whatever reason, in this moment, I was thinking, maybe it was like a moment of surrender. I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. but I turned to God and I was like, God, you're a father. Like, you're the best parent who ever existed. How would you parent me in this situation? And I could, like, that changed everything mm-hmm. for me. And there would just be moments throughout the day where God would just be like, boom, like, here is this mundane, ordinary situation. And there would be like a sonic boom inside of me that was like, this is like, that toddler is you, you know, like you look like that all of the time. And I'm going to show you how I parent. I'm going to show you how I take care of you. And so that's what this book is all about. Like all of those explosive like revelations that the Holy Spirit seriously just put on my heart, just randomly throughout the days and the years of motherhood.
Kelsey, do you mind if I share one of the connections from the book?
Sure.
This has resonated most deeply, I think, with the book club. So I'm going to use this one as an example. And I don't know the chapter number, so don't hate me for that. But one of the chapters, Kelsey talks about how, you know, waking up in the morning immediately as a mom, most, I would say 9 times out of 10, you wake up in the morning and you are instantly needed. And there is instantly a task on your plate, right? And in the chapter, she talks about how her day is barely started. She might be 45 minutes, an hour in, and she's already drained. She's already given everything to everyone. And it starts to feel like you are a servant to your family and you're just taking orders and getting completely run over every single second of every single day. And the connection that's made, and the book is full of these types of connections to just rewire your mindset and connect you to faith and motherhood, is that you aren't a servant. I have chills right now, Kelsey, because the group, we really loved this one. I know it's been brought up multiple times. You aren't a servant to your family. You aren't a servant to your children. You're a servant to Jesus. And it looks and feels differently when you realize that you aren't taking orders from them. You are taking orders from someone that anyone would love to work for, that anyone would love to do any task for. And he's just the best boss ever, the best person that you could be a servant for. And all of those little tasks, when you're getting them dressed and changing diapers and cleaning up spilled messes and making meals and doing dishes and all these mundane things, they're not for your kids. They're not for your family. They're for him. And when we read that, it was just like, oh my gosh, I no longer feel like completely angry or irritated by my routine anymore, because I see like, oh wow, I get to do this for a bigger purpose. I get to do this for him. This isn't just me catering to my kids. And so it's little connections like that that help you see in motherhood, while it is hard, because we don't want to invalidate any of it. It is so challenging. It's going to pull you outside your comfort zone. It's going to completely break you down and rebuild you. But it doesn't have to just stay hard. You don't have to sit in this dark cloud all the time. There are connections you can make that pull you out of that darkness and help you realize just how proud you should be to fight through every single day in motherhood.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned this, because also just yesterday, we were cleaning up the kitchen after dinner. And so, you know, we were telling him, okay, like, wipe down the table, clean the dishes and all the things. And my son was just like, I feel like I'm just you and dad's servant. And I was like, wait a second. But it was actually like a really good, like, I didn't like pull the power trip being like, well, I feel like I'm your servant or whatever like that. I didn't do that. But I was just like you're saying servant, like it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But Jesus came to tell us that that's how we ought to live, right? Like he came and like right before he was going to do the hardest thing in his life, what did he do? He got down and knelt before, he dressed as a slave and got down and washed his disciples' feet. And he said, you're not better than your master. I came to show you that this is how you should live. Like this is what's going to give you life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so instead of thinking of like, ah, oh, I'm a servant and I'm degrading, like really, like in Jesus's typical fashion, he flips things on its head and he's like, no, this is like the most honorable thing, the best thing. This is the greatest portion, to serve those around you.
It reminded me of a really great mentor I had when I worked in my corporate job. I had a mentor who always told me, Elena, be a servant leader, be a servant leader. And it made me the leader that I was in that job, which helped me to build the career I had, which taught me so many things that led me here, right? So everything always has a purpose. But he would tell me time and time again, be servant leadership. That is the way that you're really going to help make the biggest impact on people. And that involved, hey, you are not on a pedestal because you have XYZ title or position in your job. And this, I think this helped build me for motherhood, because he said, get down in the trenches with your people and you work with them, and don't make your task list look much different than theirs. And if you ask it of them, you do it yourself. You're always looking out for them. You go above and beyond to make sure that they're okay, that they have what they need. And that kind of resonated with me in relation to this chapter and connecting it to motherhood, is just that servant leadership, that servant parenthood. It just changes your mindset of, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. No, it's we get to do these things because of this incredible role that we're in.
Right. And I feel like God created us body and soul, right? Like he made us part of the animal kingdom, but he also calls us to be part of a different kingdom, right? The kingdom of God. And in the animal kingdom, we see how it works, right? Like the strong dominate the weak. And if you are the weakest, it's like, well, you're just, I don't know, like you're going to be left behind or killed by your own kind. Like you don't want to be at the bottom. You don't want to be the weakest link in the chain, you know, like it's not good to be there. And so we have like this animalistic urge to be on top and to dominate and to alpha and all the things. But then, like I mentioned, Jesus kind of flips everything upside down all of the time. And he's like, well, that's not how the kingdom of God works, right? Like in this kingdom, like the strong take care of the weak, you know, and the first will be last and the last will be first, which is, this is actually kind of what my second book that's coming out in August is all about. And how we can, by living the virtues, right? If an animal was to live virtuously in like the animal kingdom in the wild, they would absolutely die, right? Right? Like if, like, can a fish be humble? I don't know. Like, can an elephant be generous to a different species? I don't know. And I feel like time and again, like it's our animalistic nature that's like, well, if I do give up myself for somebody else, like I'm gonna die, right? There won't be enough left over for me. But what we see over and over and over again is that by doing that, not only do you survive, but you find like true life in abundance, just like Jesus promised, right? And so, anyways, I don't know. That's
I
just,
love it.
sorry, I'm
We're gonna
getting a
have to
little
bring you back
sidetracked.
when your next book comes out and do another podcast, by the way. So you're gonna have to
Okay,
let me
I'm
know once you're
down.
settled in
Sign me
after
up.
that. But so you writing this book, and I know obviously you said you spent almost a decade on this. You spent years just making these connections and putting this book together in the trenches that you're in now, because I know the trenches change. I'm sure with each kid they change, with each different stage of life they change. The trench that you're in now, how do you pull yourself out of the hard days? What do you lean on? Do you have any mantras or, specific things that help you overcome the challenges?
Actually, well, I feel like a lot of times I'm like climbing to the top of the trench and then I get like one elbow on the top and I see what's out there, and then like boom, we get kicked back into the trenches with this pregnancy. So, like, I mean,
Yes.
the trench is the trench, you know, it doesn't
Oh.
change the landscape very much. But I think, and I mean, even though I wrote this book, I still struggle with a lot of the overwhelming demands. I still struggle with like the constant noise and chaos. Like now that they're older, there's like so many of them, there's usually a lot of fighting throughout the house, you know? And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like there's
And
just
you're
so
so
many.
outnumbered.
And it's like not always a joyful noise, you know? And so it's like I'm just like constantly listening. It's like sitting inside of a, well, it's like sitting inside of a trench in the middle of the warfare, you know? It's just like constant, I don't know, violence. That sounds
That's
terrible.
probably
That sounds
accurate.
terrible. It's not really like that, I promise. We're a nice family. I don't know. There's just, and even like I have popped in occasionally and seen some of the reflections that you've done that are just so, you've really honored my work. And it's just so
Oh,
beautiful,
thank you.
the things that you have done in your group. And I love it. And there have been moments, there have been days I have had like a hard day and I watch your reflection and I like go through the prayer. I'm like crying. Like, I so needed
Kelsey, I
this
love that so
today.
much.
And so it's like, even I mean, I'm like, I know what's coming. I wrote this, and yet it still like strikes a chord, you know? But it's good to see like another face in it with me. And I think that I'm always touched by that as well. Just that it's a good reminder a lot of times, even still, like you do feel alone and you feel like you're just stuck in the noise and the chaos and the bickering and the fighting and whatever. And it's good. And then sometimes you're just like, oh my gosh, is it just my kids? Are they the ones like, are they terrible? Like, am I failing them? And then you just downward spiral, you know? But then when you meet other moms, they're like, oh yeah, no, my kids are doing these crazy things too. One time not long ago, I was at a play date with a friend of mine, and we were at this restaurant down here in Dallas, and there's this like huge open archway that leads out into like an outdoor playground. And so of course, like parents love this, right? Like they sit at the tables and eat the food and the kids play on the playground. It's great. But it was so funny to watch because like at all the other tables, I was just being my introverted self, like looking around and like thinking about things. And I see these other parents like sitting at the table and they're all like bedraggled and like they look like they're on the verge of death, you know? And I'm like, man, I feel the way that you look, you know? And then like their kids, I mean, all of the kids are about the same age as my kids. And so like they're all kind of figuring out the world and exploring kind of in similar ways. And one of the kids, instead of going through the giant archway back in, he decided to go through like this window. He's like trying to climb through the window. And so the dad at the other table's like, get down from there, you know? And there's this other girl who, like, I don't even know how she did it. It's kind of impressive, really. She climbed up this rope ladder and then like flipped upside down and was like dangling by her foot in the rope.
Oh
Like, look, dad. And he's like, get down from there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know you, but man, we are in
just made
this
my day.
together. Yeah, right? Like, I so feel you right now. And it's good for my soul.
It is. I think we need that reassurance. Like, gosh, mama, when you sit in this moment and you think it's just me, or why are my kids so bad? We all have those moments. What, like, why is my kid doing these things?
Yes.
It's not just you. You
Yeah.
are in this with
You're
so many
not like
moms.
failing them. Right. Yeah. It's
No,
just
we need those
life.
reminders though.
We do. We do. Because when we're in it and it is like all consuming and just constant, right? Like that becomes your reality, your world. And so it's
Absolutely.
Easy to believe that that's the only place that it exists.
Kelsey, we could talk forever.
I would love
Okay.
that.
Let's pull this together though, because I know your kids are like chomping at the bit to bug you right now. And
They're always jumping at the bit to bug me.
Exactly. I want to be respectful of your time, and I have a good feeling you're going to be back. But before we bring together today's episode together, what is a message that you would leave? You know, I know you. I know there's something on your heart that you feel compelled to share with the MWO community just to pull together today's podcast.
Yeah, well, when I first submitted this book to my publisher, we were just kind of in the talks and kind of sharing our vision for what we hoped this book was. And my publisher was like, we don't want this to be like a parenting advice book. And I'm like, well, thank goodness, because I'm not qualified to give any advice on parenting. So we're seeing eye to eye there. So I won't give any advice, but I will just say what has absolutely changed the game for me, what has changed my vocation for me, is to let go of the, I don't know, the need or the want to do it all yourself, to feel like you have to do it all yourself, and to try to do it, like I mentioned, like on your own strength, because man, that just for me just ground me straight into the ground, you know, like, but once I found my people, you know, and once I actually found like God in the grind, that totally changed everything. I actually just had a friend the other day, we were talking about this, and I was just, I had talked about how that first year with my oldest was just so hard. And I like didn't get motherhood at all. And she was like, well, at what point did you start choosing joy? And I was like, what? I don't know. I like didn't consciously choose joy. You know, it wasn't like I'm going to fake it till I make it sort of thing. But it was just, I think, a natural byproduct of finding people and actively seeking God in the daily nitty gritty grind of motherhood. And that just changes hearts, you know, and it changes outlooks, it changes minds, changes the approach, it changes you, you know, it changed me at least. So I think that would be my parting words, is just joy is the byproduct of finding your people and finding God. So
I love it. And mamas who are listening, if you feel, because we all go through this. I mean, I always say, I'll be vulnerable with you all. And I'm in a season that is just pushing me and challenging me and can feel a little bit dark lately with two under two and running a business and losing my mind and questioning myself quite often, about every 10 minutes, actually. But if you are in that dark chapter of motherhood that inevitably we all go through at some point, there's just really hard growth periods of motherhood. If you need community, please join the MWO community. Please join the Facebook group. And here's the thing. I highly encourage you to get the book, look, my screen is blurring it out. There we go. Whether you read it alone or you read it with our community, here's the thing. The book club, every single post, we've had a post every single day in the month of May. We're going to go all the way till the 31st when Kelsey comes and goes live. Every single post is pinned under a guide in the Facebook group. So if you read the book after the month of May, if you read the book in a few months or next year, and you're listening to this podcast, go to the Facebook group, find that guide and go through the daily posts as you read each chapter and drop your reflection. I will still get a notification. I will still engage with you and talk this book with you, even if the book club is quote unquote over. Okay. And so if you need community and connection, get the book, have the conversations in the Facebook group. Those other mamas that have engaged on those posts will also be able to have conversations with you about it and just make you feel less alone. Because what we need as moms is we need that non-judgmental space. We need that positive culture around us where we can just show up and say, oh, that mom over there to my right and that mom to my left, she's fighting for herself too. We're mm-hmm. all just fighting for that joy, that immense amount of confidence in motherhood that says, I am probably not doing this right, but I don't care because I'm doing my best. That's what MWO is all about. And so if you're struggling with what Kelsey's talking about and finding that joy in motherhood, I really hope you'll connect with us. And I really hope you'll grab the book, because I am not saying this because Kelsey's a guest. I sought her out to do this because I've read a lot of motherhood books and they can feel, they can leave you, like you read a mom book and it can leave you feeling less than because you just read about all these things that you should be doing or how you should be showing up. And it can be really hard. I haven't felt that way with this book. And so I highly encourage anyone that's listening, go grab it. I'm going to drop a couple different ways you can find it in the podcast description, because we're moms, you're busy. Tap it and open that browser, order it in like 6 hours when you get a moment to breathe for yourself and read this book. But Kelsey, I really just want to say thank you. You've gone above and beyond to not
in the Facebook group and talk to the ladies after the
world.
Well, I look forward to doing that. And if I could just say one more thing that was just like kind of put on my heart while you were talking, don't fight the hard. Because something that I've learned, like talking about like faith being in the rearview mirror, I have one particular kid who's like my saint maker. And she is harder than like all of my other kids put together. Don't tell her that. But she has like really, oh my gosh, like it's painful sometimes for me to like figure out how to mother this particular person. And it's like a thorn in the side, you know? And so often in our culture, we want comfort. And we want to just remove the thorn. But what I see now is that because of her, I have been more sanctified through mothering her than anything else, right? Like I have learned so much more about patience and compassion and generosity and giving up myself for someone else, you know, than anything else in this world. And it's because the thorn hurt, you know, it's like the thorn was a bother and it truly became sanctifying. So don't fight the hard.
Nope. Because you're never in alone either. And we're here to support you as you grow through those things in motherhood, because you inevitably will. Yes. Grow through a lot of things.
Yes.
We go through a lot of things, but we grow through a lot of things.
And that's a good thing.
Mamas who are listening, this is your reminder every single time you come to the Moms Working Overtime podcast. If no one has told you yet today, I hope they tell you every single day in your day-to-day life, but you will always hear it when you come listen to one of our episodes, is that, hey, if you're having a hard day, a hard week, a hard month, a hard chapter, you're doing a really amazing job. So hang in there, okay? And we will talk to you again soon. If you loved this episode of Moms Working Overtime, do me a favor. Share it on social media or send it to another mom to remind her that you love her and that she's doing such an amazing job. There's nothing more incredible that we can do in this community than remind other mamas of their strength. I'm so glad you were here today, and just know that I appreciate you an overtime amount.